All right, thank you. Well, good morning, Central Baptist. It's good to see you all, and as always, I'm so encouraged in my spirit. What a time of worship, and we're grateful for that, and I'm grateful for you being here today. You can go ahead and turn to the first chapter in the book of Psalms. And while you're doing that, let me say once again, you all continue to make Brenda and I feel such a part of your church family, and we're so excited to be with you as your interim during this time, and just so grateful for all that God is doing in and through this church. Great time, great opportunity of ministry in a week. To the community during this time at Halloween to minister to children. And those children are connected to families. And what a great opportunity for the church to be involved in that ministry and to share the love of Christ through such a time as that. And to hear once again that there's a group of folks that are ministering or heading that way, or they're already there in Joplin. And that's exciting as you all as a church family continue to go forward and seek the Lord and do those things that we are called to do. Now, evidently, I have been called and I have my marching orders. I've always just asked my wife. She gives me marching orders all the time. They don't always turn out maybe the way that she would like, but I do the best I can. But now that I guess I'm officially the interim, if you would like to speak to me or say hey, or, you know, say, it's got to be halfway nice. I mean, at least make it halfway nice. But evidently now that I'm in the interim, I have to go stand out there in the foyer if you want to come by and speak. So Brenda and I will be there. If nobody comes by, well, I don't know what I'll do, but somebody informed me that I needed to do that, so I will be glad to do that. I guess when I was just filling the pulpit, I would have done it before if somebody would have told me, but anyway, we're just so glad to be a part of you today. Now, last week, I told you that for several weeks we would be looking at some principles that are so important for just life, especially obviously the Christian life. And we started out with something that is so basic, and really we continue that this morning. But if you were here last week, we talked about that we need someone greater in our life. And certainly those of us that are Christians, we know that victory is in Christ alone. And so we know that we go with God, and God goes with us, and God gives us His grace to face the daily challenges and struggles and the reality of life. And that while we do that, we no longer are living for ourselves or building our own kingdom, but we live to serve His kingdom so that His name is made famous and that God gets the glory. And so this morning, we want to look at, after you go with God, that secondly, we look at, the message this morning is entitled, Traveling Companions. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but have you ever seen those big, huge, massive, some of them are quite elaborate. In fact, I may be speaking to some owners of one of those RVs. And you usually see them a lot of times in the parking lot of what? Walmart. And it's not always just one of them. I guess those people that own those things, they get together with other people that own those things, and they travel around the country, and they're pulling a smaller vehicle behind them, or motorcycles, and you know that I'm assuming that they're having a blast. And they're with like-minded people who want to see the country and travel around and hook up in those RV parks. And you know, it's a great time, of course, until somebody breaks down. And then, you know, but at least you have traveling companions to help you with your problem. Or if it's too big a problem, maybe they just leave you and they go on. I don't know. But I want to talk to us this morning about traveling companions. And church, some of you will go, well, Pastor Brian, this is just such a, it's such a basic message. It's a message maybe that's for, you know, young people or young adults. But quite frankly, church, I think it's a message that is that which is always applicable in this life. Always. To be reminded that the people, that once we get God in our life, the people that we surround ourselves with and build our team with to do life on life is so critical and so important. Because I don't think God created us. He didn't design us in such a way that we don't have people in our lives. We're going to have people in our lives. And the scripture, time and time again, through warnings or commands or just the truth of scripture, speaking to the reality of life, it matters who travels with us in this life. Some of us would say, you know, Pastor, you're right. Maybe it's not you, but you know somebody. Maybe it's even somebody in your family. They traveled too often, too long with folks that led them not towards God and the things of God, and remembering the victory that is in Christ and Christ alone, but they took them away from God and away from the things of God. And so this principle this morning is really about, you know, building a team. You know, oftentimes the best team wins. The team that has the best players wins. Now, that's not always the case. I don't know if there's any Ohio State Buckeye fans in, probably not. I mean, I realize where we are. But the Ohio State University lost last night to, yeah, exactly, to Purdue. I mean, who's Purdue? I mean, even Oklahoma State University can beat Purdue most of the time. But they got beat. And probably man-to-man, player-to-player, Purdue's probably not the team that Ohio State is. But church, I want to remind us this morning that what many counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and those that even provide that kind of information and listening ear through the clergy, the ministries of clergy people, is that one of the things that can bring failure into a person's life was they primarily say, well, I'm just going to kind of do this thing alone. The Christian life was not to be done alone. You can study Scripture, both Old and New Testament, and find out that God designed this to be in this together. As I shared in the earlier service, Jesus surrounded himself with disciples. We're not to go at this alone. Joe was a fella that was very gifted, very talented, had incredible abilities, had some great success in the business arena, the business world, so much so that he decided to launch out on his own. And honestly, Joe had the skills and the abilities and the smarts to probably make it. The problem was, he still had this pride. He had this desire that was all about the money. And by the way, Rylan, isn't it funny how the folks that oftentimes do win the $1 billion lottery that victory doesn't last, does it? They end up in worse shape and with more problems maybe than they had before. But all that being said, Joe decided to look to a fellow who obviously had some kind of success in his life and a proven track record. True story, he went to this gentleman and he said, "Hey, share with me, what was the success of building your business?" And Joe heard some words that, quite frankly, he didn't expect to hear. He thought that he would hear things like forecasting and sales techniques and training for your employees and stuff that had to do with how do you go about getting your financing and management and leadership development and all those kinds of things that are connected to business. But what he heard was this. He went to the fella, asked him, "Tell me your business strategy. How did you get to be so successful?" And this is what the gentleman shared with him. He said, "Well, the first thing that I did, and I would encourage you to do, is surround yourself with spiritually tuned, well-grounded people. Because what I did in life, I surrounded myself with a support group. We met once a week. And quite frankly, what we would do is we would pray together. We would sometimes confess sin and our struggles. Eventually, we would get to reviewing things in the company and talk about that. But most of all, what we really did for one another is we supported one another." Well, that wasn't what Joe expected to hear. And quite frankly, he left that meeting, went out on his own, disregarded that counsel and that advice, and true story, within 2 years, his company was no more. He had more debt than he'd ever had, and more problems than he'd ever had. And I have to wonder, church, that is it possible if he would have surrounded himself with a winning team, if he would have surrounded himself with people that he could do life with, and then just trusted God to take care of the business stuff, he might have been better off. Well, in Psalm chapter 1, in the first two verses, we see the success or the commitment of what some people do. And the Bible says that the people that do this are blessed. And it's really revolving around and starting with what they don't do. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." In other words, this person doesn't do these things. They don't do life with those people or the direction those people are going. They delight in the righteous. They choose those traveling companions and go a way that is towards God. They take a path and stand in that path and walk in that path that is towards the things of the kingdom. They don't sit in that specific seat that brings nothing but heartache and brokenness and sorrow. Now, some scholars see these verses as it progresses. They don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Some scholars see that as a progressive and an increasing, ever-growing set of problems and commitment to sin. But the scripture says the person is blessed who, if you will, chooses their traveling companions in life. That word blessed in the original language, it means happiness or contentment. It means the multiplicity of blessings. It means if your traveling companions in this life are not in the counsel of the wicked or the one who sits in the seat of scoffers or stands in the way of sinners, the multiplicity of blessings in your life continue. It means there is a straightness or to be right. And I loved what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "It is not the one who is blessed who is a king, or even the one who is a scholar, or the one who is rich, or the one who's won the lottery." I threw that one in, by the way. "Or the one who goes from party to party, or the next great thrill experience." What he said was this, that this life, this one is who is blessed, is attainable by the forgotten, by the poor, by the obscure, the ones who feel they have nothing to offer. See, church, we are to delight in the righteous. That word counsel means we discern that which is godly or ungodly. The ultimate source is from the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 24, "O God, your testimonies, your word are my counselors." Where it speaks in standing in the way of sinners, it speaks of a way or a road or a direction. Psalm 16:11 says this, that we can have confidence in God's path. "God, you are the one who make known the path of life." One person said this, "The righteous person only has God's word on his mind two times a day, day and night." Day and night. That pretty much covers it. And then finally, the one who sits in the seat of scoffers. Proverbs 19:29 says this, "It is condemnation that is reserved for the scoffer." Condemnation. That's all they have to look forward to. When people say, "Why do you go to church? Why would you believe in God? Why would you trust God? I mean, you still have problems. You still have difficulties. What has God really ever done for me?" When I look at this life, I see all the wickedness and the evil. And why does God not intervene? Why does God allow those things to happen? And those questions are difficult and they run deep. But church, the Bible says that those who scoff at God and His Word, and those that say the only victory is found in what I can do and what I can accomplish and what kind of kingdom I can build, the only satisfaction and joy and happiness will come from what I can somehow conjure up, those that scoff at the reality of a good and loving God who pursues His creation, the Bible says that condemnation awaits them. You see, we ought to be, as Christians, Central Baptist Church, we ought to be absolutely proud that we follow Jesus Christ. I loved what Ryland said earlier in our time of worship. Make this your prayer. When we sang to the fact that whatever it takes, whatever I have to do, church, is that our heart? Is that our commitment? Is that our level of faith? Again, quoting Charles Spurgeon, be out and out for Him. Unfurl your colors. Never hide them. nail them to the mast, and say to all those who scorn and ridicule the saints, if you have any ill words for the followers of Christ, please pour them out upon me. But also know this, whether you like it or not, you will hear from my lips, I love Christ. Somebody say it with me. I love Christ. We delight in the righteous. We delight in His righteousness. Even though, church, understand that the people that are the scoffers, the people that are going their own way, the people that are counseling, if you will, that which is not the counsel of God and the things of godliness, and they're the things of the ways of the world and the ways of sin. Those people matter to God, and Jesus Christ died for them, and we don't discount them and totally reject them, but we must be careful that they don't become a traveling companion in our life. Because their mind and their heart is blind to the reality of who God is. So we simply just love them and we pray for them. And we live out these real, authentic lives in front of them. And pray that God will allow them by His grace to see how much He truly loves them. And then what do? We go on embracing the fact that we don't try to do this alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, again, probably very familiar verses to many of you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it tells us that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is what, church? It says alone. For the person who is alone. Listen, there are people that can have all kinds of relationships and all kinds of friends and can walk into a room and maybe be someone of power and position, but in their heart of hearts, they're so alone. And woe to the one who, when they fall, they're alone. And they have no one to lift them up. For again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We're not to go it alone. There's benefits. There's benefits to good traveling companions in this life. One of those is that it sustains our spiritual health and strength. We need that interaction. We need that fellowship. We need to worship the Lord together and to grow spiritually with others. Because without even realizing it, time and time again, we've even seen it in the lives of folks who have become a believer, they've become a Christian, but they're not really within a small group. They're not really being discipled. They can find themselves gradually going back to those old ways of thinking. Without fellowship, it is easy for Christians to lose their love for God and His Word. It is easy to become spiritually cold, and if you're not careful, when you're out there alone, there's tremendous odds, the pressures of this life. Some of you have faced this past week pressures that I wouldn't even be able to imagine. They might be work-related pressures. They might be family or relationship pressures, financial pressures. It might be the pressures of those who are not of the family of God. They don't delight in the things of the righteous because they're not righteous. They're lost. They need Christ, and they don't know that they need Christ. But they say things like, hey, A bunch of us are going to happy hour after work. In church, it just takes one or two times. Hey, some of us are going to go do this or go do that. And church, understand, you know, that's part of the problem with the reality of how some perceive the church and Christians, is that there's this perception of that all we're known for is what we don't do. Now, again, I understand that I started this message a few moments ago in Psalm chapter 1 on things that we don't do if we're going to choose our traveling companions in this life. And there are some things that we don't do, but church, we live these lives before the world, and our strength is no more in and of ourselves. But our spiritual strength comes from God and His Word and by His Spirit and the people that love us and we love them. And they support us and they encourage us. They help us sustain our spiritual health and strength, but it enables us to accomplish more for the Lord. Look what it says, two are better than one because they have a great reward for their toil. It enables us to work for a common goal, the goal of glorifying the Lord. You know, next Sunday night, it takes a lot of folks, it takes a lot of people to minister to a community, to say, we care about your children, we care about your family. Not only that, we care about your marriage, we care about your finances, we care about you as a person, because God loves you, God cares about you, and it takes a lot of people. I would encourage you, I love what Matt said earlier, hey, even if it's just an hour, come down next Sunday night for an hour. You don't even have to stay the whole time. What you'll end up finding out is, not only can you get some candy, because I always snuck some candy, you know what I'm saying? I got to get some candy. But you'll probably not want to go. Because when you realize what you're doing is in Jesus' name, it makes all the difference in the world. We can accomplish more for the Lord. Thirdly, it provides strength for our spiritual battles. Church, we're in a battle. We're not just battling the world. We're battling Satan himself and all of his demons and all the principalities. There's a battle that is trying to rip families apart and marriages apart and people trapped and weighed down in their brokenness and their sin. And people that still have issues that maybe go way back. You'll never overcome that. You'll never be able to walk in victory. Church, it helps provide strength in our spiritual battles, helps us to accomplish more. It's pleasing in God's sight. Fourthly, how great it is when God's people dwell together in unity. It's a good thing when we realize we're not in this alone. And it's Christ's intention for His disciples. The Lord Jesus clearly intended His disciples to fellowship together and to serve Him together. And then lastly, church, it's just this. The benefit of realizing we don't go it alone is it's just natural. That's why we sing about. That's why you find that reality in the Scripture. We have our families, our natural born families, but when you become a child of God, you become related to other believers, the saints of God. You're in the family of God. And the reality is, quite frankly, church, is sometimes the family of God, anybody? They're a whole lot better than your natural family. But that's a whole nother deal. But it's just natural. And we're together and we can accomplish more. And it helps us to sustain our spiritual strength. And then finally, church, simply this. That it's really, really important. It really is. my wife and I have been reading through. It's really, I do most of the listening, and she reads. We're reading through the Proverbs. And I might have said this already on another previous Sunday, but, you know, we were talking, and she said, you know, every parent or parents or grandparents or somebody that's influential in the life of a young person or child, they ought to just read the Proverbs together. And it's really so true. One of the verses that we read this week was Proverbs 13, verse 20, that says this. It said, whoever walks with the wise, you'll be wise. That's what you will. But whoever walks with the foolish will bring harm to your life. I read that same verse from the paraphrase of the scriptures called The Message. And it goes like this. Whoever wants to be wise, walk with someone who is wise. But those who hang out with the foolish, now listen to this. Those who hang out with the foolish will watch their life fall to pieces. I thought, man, that is so true. People who have, they've been with the scoffers. They've walked down that path. They've listened to the counsel of the wicked. They've stood too long where they shouldn't have stood. And they've literally watched their life fall to pieces. I had a great, great front row seat, if you will, to the illustration of this final point. That all this is so, so important. I think it's applicable and speaks to whatever age a person is, wherever you are in life. It's just not for children or our young people or even young adults. Because there's plenty of seasoned adults who are still making the same mistake time and time again. And oftentimes it's connected to who they're traveling through life with. But I've gotten acquainted with this guy. He's a Tulsa County deputy. And it didn't take long for me to figure out that he's a Christian. He is a believer. And it's been kind of fun to kind of get to know him. And we talk church sometimes and faith and God type things. And one day we were all together in this same venue, this same place. And there he was. I wasn't eavesdropping, but it was just because I was in close proximity. But I got to watch and listen to this Tulsa County Sheriff's deputy speak into the lives of this young couple. Young adults, I don't know. They're either strongly in like or they're totally in love. I don't know which. But they had that goofy look on their face, you know, that when you're in love or... I don't know if they're married or just dating, but obviously they like one another's company. And so he was speaking to them, and he obviously knows them. And they were talking back and forth and talking just about different things. And then all of a sudden, the conversation switched, and he said, hey, by the way, have you guys gotten yourself into a small group yet? And then he went on and talked about, you know, the importance of that and the value of that and all that kind of stuff. Now, in Baptist life, for us, many times our small group would be what we call Sunday school or the Bible study hour. But this particular Tulsa County Sheriff's deputy is a part of a church. They don't really do, quote, Sunday school or Bible study hour. They do small groups. That's how they're structured. That's how they do their thing. And then they come together, all their small groups from the different parts of wherever they have them. And about once every 6 to 8 weeks, they come together and have a big worship service and celebration. And that's all fine and well and good. And that works for them, and that's great. But he asked them like 2 or 3 times, and finally the young man responded. He said, "Well, have you guys gotten yourself in a small group yet?" And the young man said this, "Well, we just haven't done it yet." You know, church, how many people, they've never really said or scoffed. You couldn't really say that they've sat in the seat of the scoffer. They're maybe not that bad. They have enough respect, or they know something, or maybe they heard Billy Graham preach one time and they still remember how it made them feel, but they've never really rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they haven't just done it yet. They haven't just accepted it yet. Now that's talking about salvation. But church, can I tell you that when I thought about that this week, and certainly this message this morning, I thought, you know, that those two young adults, whether they realize it or not, they need to get around to it. They need to get themselves in a small group. They need to get themselves with other young adults who are trying to do life right. Because isn't it hard, church, sometimes? We just get distracted. We just drift. The things of God maybe don't become as important as they should be. Because what that young man was saying was, We just haven't done it yet. We haven't gotten around to it. We haven't made that priority. We haven't taken that next step. In the early service, I said, the first 2 points were pretty easy, and this last third point, I just didn't know what to say. And it was this, as if God just simply spoke into my heart, just tell them it's really, really important. There's all kinds of stuff in my word. Just remind them, whether they're 99 or 9, it's really, really important. I hope and pray that you have great traveling companions. And if you don't, I just have to believe that at Central Baptist Church, there's enough people that love God, that love people. They'll love you. They'll come alongside you. They'll walk with you. They'll cry with you. They'll pray with you. When you can't shout victory, they'll shout victory for you. It's really important. Let us delight in the righteous. And let us remember, we don't go this alone. We can't, because we weren't designed that way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the people that even now maybe are coming into the hearts and minds of folks here today that have heard these words, this message, that maybe, God, what we're to do in this moment is just to say thank you, God. The way that you blessed me was you gave me so-and-so, or you gave me so-and-sos, and man, am I thankful. Maybe it's just to be grateful to you, Lord, that our traveling companions change in life. But all along the way, you have been faithful to provide more godly people that I needed. And then you allowed me to be that for somebody else. God, thank you that you are with us. You're with this church, Central Baptist. May we be a united front, proud to follow Jesus Christ. He is Lord. And for those who don't know him, we will tell others about him. And until then, God, we go with you and we go with others who will support us, encourage us, and love us. In Christ's name, amen.